You are ballad or a dreadlocks, the vibes it right, so you know you are fi rock. Hey yo, rock to art and culture mix, you don't know T-Li Bird, Phoenix 96.7 FM, every fortnight, Wednesday night, 6 to 8 p.m., done them rock to art, done them.
Yes, here we are live back in the studios of Phoenix 96.7 FM. You've tuned in to the culture mix with me, T-Li Bird, playing the best of world music from now to 8. Special guest in the studio tonight, Mr. Tim Collins. Hello, Tim.
Hi, T.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for playing that bit of the track, squeezing that in. Appreciate that.
Well, you didn't exactly twist my arm around at the back of my back, but anything to oblige.
Thank you.
You had a good day.
Great day, thank you.
All right, mate, good nice day. One. But thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to come in here tonight.
Thanks for inviting me.
So, tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay, so did a degree in psychology and then worked for a company called Procter & Gamble, who make quite a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Then I worked in advertising and marketing for a number of years. And then I moved into a bad year where I got made redundant twice and sacked within a year. And I came back, started afresh and managed a barrister's chambers for 16 years.
Okay, all right. Barrister's chambers. What was that like?
Lots of characters, some great people. The staff are fantastic, some really good people as well. But working under a lot of pressure.
Right, okay. So you've done that. So what do you do now for a living?
So I've now set, so about just over a year ago, set up my own consultancy. Mm-hmm. So I try and help individuals and businesses take a next step forward.
Okay, so when you say next step forward, what do you mean by that?
Anything. So one of the things, one of the niche things I do is I help people become judges. So I coach them how to do the applications and the interviews.
Wow.
And I also work with businesses. I'm a growth accelerator and do stuff on leadership to help businesses and individuals as well.
All right. Growth accelerator. What does that mean?
And that's a government scheme which gives funding to help businesses grow and develop.
Okay. All right. So did your experience of working for Procter & Gamble and working in Barrister's Chambers, did it set you up to actually do what you're doing now?
I think you pick up a lot of skills along the way. And one of the things I try and encourage young people when I'm talking to them, mm-hmm, is to pick up skills, training, and you learn, but also you learn by making mistakes.
Right,
massively.
Okay.
So don't be scared of making mistakes. You can make mistakes, you can pick yourself up, learn from them, and move on. Mm-hmm. That's the big learning.
So you've been doing this for 12 months now?
Yep.
So how's it going?
just starting to really pick up. So meeting lots of really good people, including yourself.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Really, really enjoying the people I'm meeting, learning a lot, doing some stuff with Leeds Beckett University on the, as an associate on the Leadership Centre.
Okay.
Which is good. And just different things, which I'm really enjoying doing.
All right. So has anything happened recently, anything major?
Well, the last fortnight there's been a particular judicial competition. So I've had a load of clients from all over the country, and I've been advising them, which has been really good and fantastic feedback. So that's a real shot in the arm.
Okay, judicial competition.
Yeah,
I've also got images of barristers going out and fighting in the ring or something.
Well, it's barristers and solicitors and legal executives as well now.
Okay.
And they have different competitions. They have about 500 posts available each year,
right,
at different levels: tribunals, mental health, straightforward criminal, civil. They're all different levels, and they run different competitions to be fair, to try and promote access and diversity, right. And it's very competitive. So often people need help in terms of helping tell their story.
Okay. Is this competition for jobs that are out there, or...?
The jobs that the Ministry of Justice advertised for judicial posts, yeah.
Right, so... Is there a lot? Is there a big need for barristers at the moment?
For judges. Hmm. So there are so many changes in the legal market that a lot of people are finding the attraction of trying to become a judge increasingly attractive. But that means the competition is very, very, very fierce. So for the current competition, there are 104 vacancies nationally, and they think they've had about 1,500 people applying.
Wow!
So the numbers are high.
Okay. So, when you go in, what do you actually do in terms of getting these people ready to for the competitions themselves?
Okay. Well, first, I understand about the process. So, I understand about how they run each competition. So, I advise them to just summarise that to the clients.
Mm-hmm.
But the key thing then really will be helping them do their application form.
Okay.
And like a lot of businesses, a lot of organisations, they recruit on competencies. So, are you good at a certain thing?
Okay.
Like ability to deal fairly, intellectual capacity, different things.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to say in 250 words their evidence of that. And that's the trick. And that's because I work in communication and helping people sell themselves, really. That's where I give them straight advice.
Well, sounds really interesting.
It's enjoyable because it makes some really good characters and some great stories and great examples of things they've done with people as well.
Okay, so interesting. So what's the most interesting thing about this particular role for you?
Because every client's so different.
Right.
And you've got very bright people who I'm dealing with, and having to persuade them. And I have a thing called my pay fair policy, where I agree an hourly rate with them, but at the end of my time with them, they pay me what they feel is fair.
Okay.
So I have to make sure that each time I deliver, and I'm not there just to charge out time or a set fee.
Okay.
It's trying to be fair to them and add value to their process.
Okay. So how successful has that been for you then?
That's been great. So, you know, everyone's paid me the full amount in this last competition, apart from one who says they'll wait until they see how the feedback comes in interview.
All right.
So okay. I'm very happy with that.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. We're going to take a short break. We're going to play the first track that you've chosen tonight. Bruce Springsteen. This one's called The Ghost of... Well, you tell the listeners what this one's called.
This is The Ghost of Tom Joad with Tom Morello.
And why have you chosen this particular track?
On my Twitter summary, I talk about to give people a decent job or a helping hand. And this is a line taken from that song.
Okay, for the first track tonight from Tim Collins, Sounds of Bruce Springsteen and The Ghost of
Tom Joad.
Tom Joad.
Men walking along the railroad tracks, gone someplace, there's no going back. Highway patrol choppers coming up over ridge. Hot soup on a campfire under the bridge. Silver line stretching around the corner. Welcome to New World Order. Family sleeping in the cars in the Southwest. No home, no job, no peace, no worries. Well, the highway's alive tonight. But nobody's kidding nobody about where it goes. I'm sitting down here in the campfire line, searching for the ghost of Tom Joad. Well, a prayer book out of his sleeping bag. Preacher lights up a butt and takes a drag, waiting for when the last shall be first and the first shall be last. In a cardboard box near the underpass, you got a one-way ticket to the promised land. You got a hole in your belly and a gun in your hand, sleeping on a pillow of solid rock, bathing in the city's aqueduct. Against the blood and hatred in the air. Look for me, Mom, I'll be there. Well, if somebody's fighting for a place to stand, or a decent job or a helping hand, whoever somebody's struggling to be free, look in their eyes, Ma, you'll see me.
Old Town Joe.
Yes, the first track tonight from Tim Collins, the Sounds of Bruce Springsteen, The Ghost of Tom Joad.
That's right. Thanks for playing that.
It's all right. First time I've played a bit of Bruce on this track, on this studio. Studio. This show.
should I play it more often?
I think I should, yeah. Do you want to take over? So, all right. So, why did you choose that particular track?
Well, it's reminded me, because the guitar playing of Tom Morello is just unbelievable, and I've seen him do that live with Springsteen and the E Street Band. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. And on my way here, I called in and saw some friends, Gordon, who's a great guitarist,
okay,
and his wife Liz, and they just had a baby called Bobby. So I'd like to say hi and welcome to Bobby, and dedicate that fantastic guitar playing to Bobby Semple.
Oh, nice one, Bobby Semple.
Semple.
Bobby Simple.
Semple.
Semple. Bobby Semple. So, Bobby Semple, have you listened to that one? You're probably not old enough to kind of appreciate the magnificent guitar playing on that, but yes, that one's for you, Bobby. So, the people, your company, I mean, who do you provide your services for? Is it individuals or companies or...?
Individuals and companies, organisations, so it could be a charity. Mm-hmm. I'm doing some work for free with a person who's a Paralympian, who's a great individual.
Okay.
So, you know, very much it's trying to help people take one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of consultants and people try and get people to do 20 things or give them a 200-page report, and they're just overwhelmed with it and they've got no time. So I had to try and help people just take one next step.
Okay. Yeah. Would you say that was your unique selling point then?
I think the unique selling point is partly that, my experience, but to an extent, I'm not unique. There are lots of other people there who can offer really good advice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great thing to work and collaborate with people. And if you feel it works for you, great. But if not, find someone else. The big thing is create time, think, step back from your business, your project, or what you're doing, and work. Ask questions. Ask for help. It's really good.
Okay. So the what you're using at the moment, the Payfare.
Yep.
Was that something you thought of yourself, or...?
Well, it goes back to the song that was coming into this half, Hope and Social.
Okay, all right. I sort of preempted too early.
I'm only allowed to mention them once so far this evening.
All right.
They're a great band, and I've seen them a number of times. And they did a thing where they decided they weren't making money out of record contract and deal.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to give their music away.
Okay.
And let people pay what they wanted for. And actually it links into a business model from, there's a guy called David Maister, mm-hmm, from years ago, who was the guru for professional services for PR firms, lawyers, accountants, about, he tried to say, go down the same model. That seemed to make sense to me. And I also put a little thing in it, which I also say that if people recommend me to another client,
mm-hmm,
then I'll give 10% of the fees to Simon on the Streets, which is a charity that does work with the people sleeping rough, right, in Huddersfield, Leeds and Bradford.
Okay, all right. So how successful has it been so far then?
So far, really good.
Yeah?
Really positive.
Okay.
And it's about the client. So I don't have to then say, can I have some feedback, please? Can you fill in the survey? Because afterwards, I won't say at the time, immediately when I've done the work, I say, look, pause, reflect on it. Let me know what you think. Great, thank you. I'm happy to receive that. Because
okay,
then I've added value to them.
Right. So how do you measure your success?
I guess the key measure, apart from the pay fair element, in terms of what they've actually paid me, which is numeric, is actually by, have I helped them move forward? Yeah, and that's qualitative in terms of they're giving me feedback. I really value this. This is really helpful. I've never been able to do this. So I try and keep in contact with people and encourage people to help them move forward and develop.
Right, okay. So what have you got lined up now for the near future?
So the big thing is I'm working with a guy called David Broadhead, who runs Partners in Management in Huddersfield. And he's fantastic resource. I'm doing his leadership course at the moment. And that's become really, really interesting, because I think a lot of firms and organisations and businesses are struggling because they're doing things in the old way, by a sort of command and control, and very much I think we need to trust and help develop people, get people doing what they're good at doing and release them to do that. So I'm very much trying to get in with businesses and organisations and help them be more effective by trusting and empowering people.
Okay, all right, that sounds, you're, would you say you have a bit of philanthropist?
It's too long a word for me, no.
A modern day philanthropist. I can never say that word. Because you sound as though you're giving a lot to communities. You're doing a lot out there to help people who aren't really in a position to help themselves because of, I don't know, because they're new to business and...
Yeah, I think if they go back to that first track that goes to Tom Joad, it's based on the character from Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath. Mm-hmm. And that's where people were struggling, where there's an inequality in power. And I believe hugely in the idea of community. Okay. And I use this phrase as an African proverb, I am because we are. Mm-hmm. And those people who you meet who try and suck the marrow out of life and right. screw you in a deal, mm-hmm. yeah, that's sad. They may have more money, they may have a big car, whatever, but so what? That's not the real currency.
Sure.
And I think as we move forward, increasingly, community is increasingly important. And I want strong, vibrant, mixed communities.
Okay, that's a very admirable thing for you to do, Tim. Nice one, matey. So we're going to play your second track tonight. One of your favourite bands at the moment, whose name escapes me. But you've chosen a track from their album called Eurospin. Why on this particular track?
Eurospin, if you look on YouTube and look and do Hope and Social Eurospin, they recorded this with a bunch of fans and people in a crypt, I think, and they'd had a meal and they taught people how to play blow on wine bottles and play wine bottles as percussion to create a community song. And to me it's really hopeful, particularly the refrain towards the end.
All right, well, second track tonight, this is the Hope and Social track called Eurospin.
Roll around.
Yeah, second track tonight from Tim Collins. Sounds there of
Hope and Social and Eurospin.
That one's called Eurospin.
I'm on commission, I hope.
I'm going to get you to come in here next week. Well, not next week, in a fortnight's time. You can help me out. You can be my producer. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Yeah. All right. So, unusual track, that one.
Comes back down to what I was saying earlier about community.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think that there's the epitome of a community band for the Tour de France and the Cultural Festival.
Okay.
They played 12 gigs in 12 towns. Mm-hmm. They were Home Firth. They were Elland. And it was a band anyone could join. So they worked with school kids, rehearsing with ukulele bands, mm-hmm. with brass bands, with people playing guitars, brass sections, jazz bands. And they got together. Had a solar-powered stage. I went round in a high-vis jacket trying to help out and not cause chaos, as I normally do. And it was just a fantastic community experience. And that's what they are. It's fun, inclusive music that's got a message, yeah, but it's art for all. And I think that's really important thing about art.
Okay, you sound like my sort of band. Are they playing again in the near future?
Yeah, they're playing in Leeds on the 19th of December. They're playing 12 gigs in the day.
12 gigs in a day?
Yeah, I think they're dotting all around Leeds. So they're ending up at Trinity Church, which is next to the Trinity Centre.
Okay.
And I'll certainly be going with some mates, and I'd love to see you there as well.
I think I might have to come along to that. I've never seen or heard of a band playing 12 gigs in one day.
You've never met Hope and Social.
That'll be amazing. I'll have to. I think I will come along to that. When's that? 19th of December, you said?
19th of December.
That's a Saturday, yeah?
It's a Friday.
A Friday.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, go to hopeandsocial.com and you'll see chaos from there.
Okay, I'll have to have a look at that when I get home tonight.
Great.
All right, so we're on the last leg, and a few more questions to ask you. So what are your main passions in life?
Passions? Well, I'm a family man. I'm really lucky. I've got a great partner called Janet, who's a shiatsu practitioner.
Right.
She used to be a midwife, and it's a bit like acupuncture without the needles, although she'll kill me for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And she works with a range of clients and also specialises in some birth preparation stuff. And she's wonderful. I'm very, very lucky with her. And we've got two children, Murren and Tig. So we've called them weird names to get back to sleepless nights when they were young.
Murren and Tig,
Irish. So I'm first generation Irish.
Okay, right.
So that's their names.
All right, because the first time I've heard of names, children called with those names anyway. Are they musical? Do they like?
Yeah, daughter plays piano, and my son is getting quite mean on the guitar. Actually,
right.
Can't sing, which links into a story later on. But yeah, he's very good on the guitar and getting better and better.
And how old's your son?
He's 14 now.
All right. So is he in the band at the moment?
Not at the moment. That's it's when you're a rock star, they form, they split. So he's currently split, looking for a new band and stuff, and you know. Band politics and stuff.
Okay, so was he a lead guitarist? Or
he's very good guitarist, lead.
Right. And does he like Bruce Springsteen?
He's been to see Bruce Springsteen a few times, as of Janet and Maren as well, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So a few times. Well, I mean, when's the most recent time that you and your son, Janet, and your daughter were?
No, Janet and Maren didn't come because they were busy, but well, when I quit my job, so the Barrister's Chambers, just over a year and a half ago, nearly, it was June time, I'd realised that and the reason I left really, because over the last 3 years in that job, really, I'd become more stressed, unhappy, and not really a great dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I quit my job and I had nothing lined up, and I thought, I've had enough of this, I want a fresh challenge and move on. And I've done as much as I can, so what can I do? And I thought, I owe stuff to Tig.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some tickets to go and see Bruce Springsteen in Wembley. So the Friday night, we set off, just him and I, drove down to Wembley, went for curry, and they have a thing at Bruce gigs where the fans organise people who get into the pit, which is the front bit of the crowd.
Okay.
And so we got there 7:15 at night, and we got number 747 and 748 written on our wrists, written on our hands.
Uh-huh.
And then we had a choice then to either, I said to Tig, okay, we can either sleep outside Wembley overnight, we can go and stay with some friends a couple of miles away, or we can sleep in the car. What do you want? And he was 12 at the time. He said, Dad, let's sleep outside. So I got a sleeping bag and stuff. And we slept the night outside Wembley.
Brilliant.
To make sure we were in the queue. Met some fantastic people from Denmark, Holland, Ireland, Newcastle. Just all nice nutters, all Bruce fans, but all nutters, but nice nutters.
In the nicest possible way.
And it was great. So at about 1 o'clock, we got our bands, which allowed us to go into the pit. So we went off to a local Badlands Party, which is a Bruce UK fan club, which was great. Had some bands playing there. I got my t-shirt saying a line from a Bruce song saying, "We learned more from a 3-minute record than we ever learned in school." Wow. So he was really pleased with that. Had a game of pool. I won, thankfully. Got some pizza and got back in the queue to get into the pit. And I've been to see Bruce a few times in different places, and I normally go to the back of the pit and stand there. I've got a great friend, Stephen Singh, who's a solicitor at Ramsden's, who've got offices in Halifax and Huddersfield and places, and he was coming down as well. And I normally stand, we normally stand at the back of the pit, right in the middle, and we get a great view, and there's no crush. Because Tiger's, my son's small, two big guys come, can't really see. Stephen texts me, "Hey, Tim, there's loads of space. Neil's Lofgren's side of the stage has been stage left." So we wander over there, and it's loads of space. Band came on, awesome. Started off with Land of Hope and Dreams, Tigers and Tears, and what's up? It turns out later on he'd been having some hassle at school and stuff, and he's just so happy to be there.
Right.
And I thought, this is great. And Bruce played the whole of one album. Yeah, all the tracks you don't normally hear, Darkness of the Town, was awesome. I think, can this get any better? And we're about, there was no one within about 5-6 feet of us. Great view of the stage, and particularly on the guitarist Nils Lofgren, because Ty loves playing guitar. And then Bruce does this one song, and he often gets a kid up on stage. So I said to Ty, "Do you want to get my shoulder?" Gets my shoulders, and then 5 minutes later, Bruce is pointing to him, and I passed him over my head to Bruce. He stands next to Bruce. Bruce hands him the microphone, and Ty can't sing. Music drops down, and he goes for it. So he went for it. Bruce picks him up his shoulder, bounces him up and down, hands him back, and gives him a plectrum.
Wow.
And that was it. And his legs were shaking. I couldn't get it. People were so lovely to me. Pam, Stephen's wife, was in tears and hugging.
Oh.
And it was just couldn't have bought that experience. It was just fantastic.
Oh.
So, special, special memory.
What an amazing day that was. Yeah. Yep. No wonder you're able to recollect that that memory just like that, because it's just there, isn't it?
It's there, yeah.
Oh, good brilliant. Memory. And you went to see Bruce again recently as well?
No, then at I then went a couple of days later to Glasgow.
Okay.
Emergency fix. And then his next gig was at Leeds Arena.
Uh-huh.
Opened the Leeds Arena.
Okay.
So I had tickets for that again with Stephen. We spent silly time queuing in the to get our pit, because it was a much smaller pit at Leeds Arena. But we got our pit vans. And I met a good colleague from work called Rich. And waiting, and then they made some more tickets available, and tickets were like gold dust for this gig.
Okay.
And we're going away, so I rang up home and I said, "Ty, do you fancy it?" "No, I don't really fancy it." "Oh, that's fine." And he rang back, "Oh, we'll come, Dad." So he came in on the train by himself, and he just went his flip-flops, we'd been away camping the weekend before.
Right.
And got in, and managed, for some reason, they let me in the pit. And guess what happened again?
Oh, brilliant. Did Bruce recognise him?
No, I don't think so. But the thing is, he ended up on stage, because he was wearing flip-flops, he ended up on stage barefoot.
Right.
And people said, "It must be a fix, it must be rehearsed." And his singing was even worse than the first time.
Uh-huh.
But to make it even better, not just Stephen, my mate Stephen, but his four daughters and wife all ended up on stage during Dance in the Dark.
Really?
So it was just a mega celebration.
Wow.
So I've got a blog about it on my website, and there's a link to an interview which we did afterwards with ITV Calendar, but also Stephen and his family as well.
Oh,
so really special, great way to open Leeds Arena.
Okay.
Great venue.
That's one for the scrapbook, if I've heard of one.
Definitely.
All right, so we've nearly come to the end.
Time flies.
It's just been an amazing interview, so thank you long for coming along.
Thank you.
Tim. So how can listeners get hold of you then? How can they contact you?
They can do two things. They can just email simply tim@asktim.org, or they can go to my website, which is www.asktim.org. I believe people learn by stories. I have a little section called Staple Stories, and it has stuff about the Bruce story and other stories as well. Lessons from life, as I call those. So read, share, enjoy. That's good.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of the interview.
Yep.
So we've got one more track to play. This one's from a woman called Emily
McGuire.
So, are you choosing this particular track? Why this particular track?
Okay, Emily McGuire's a fantastic singer-songwriter. We saw, the family, so I was busy that night supporting a guy called Eric Bibb, who's a fantastic blues gospel musician. And my daughter just loved her. Great lyrics. And she's actually gone through a lot of mental health issues, Emily has, and problems. Really honest lyrics. And we organised a charity fundraising gig to raise some money for a partnership which the kids' school does with a school in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily really kindly came up and played this gig, coincidentally, to my daughter's birthday. So it's win-win-win, and she just has a fantastic voice and great lyrics. And this, again, is about hope moving forward.
Okay, well, last track tonight from Tim Collins, Sounds of Emily Maguire. This one's called Start Over Again.
Start over again. Out of the muddy waters I come round. I said I'm off to London town. My love is strong, the years roll. Now it's gone in the blink of an eye. And he said, go slow, you need time, be wise, start over again. Thrown in the muddy waters, you were waiting there on the ground. And then you put your hand in mine. You put your heart on the line. And you said, we're both slow. You need time. Be mine. And start over.
Final track there from Tim Collins. His choice was
Emily.
What's going on with me tonight? Emily Maguire, Start All Over Again. I think I need to start all over again tonight. So thank you very much, Tim, for coming in to the studio.
You're welcome. Thank
really
you,
really appreciate it.
You
must do it again sometime, yeah?
I'd love to. Thank
yeah?
you.
All right. So can you give the listeners again details on how they can contact you just for one final time?
Sure. My website is www.asktim.org. Email address is tim@asktim.org. And on Twitter, I'm at wow, thank you, Tim.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that. And,
thank you.
Yeah, really appreciate that one. And I look forward to seeing you again soon.
And I hope it's social on the 19th.
Yes. All right.
Cheers.
Mate. Take care. See you later.
Check it.
to you.